Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
greetings. Testing 1, 2, 3.
When I was a little girl,
your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I'm so delighted to be able to come back across these airways and skyways, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that all is well in your family circle. I hope and pray that all continually to be well, hallelujah, with you and yours. and hallelujah, and just may God richly bless you, you, and you on this morning. Hallelujah. I've told you I've had some difficulties on this morning. I mean, some audio difficulties. But, you know, I know that God is yet sitting on his throne. God is sitting high, and he's looking low. Hallelujah. Over the good and the bad and the not so good. So I tell you, I just know that God hear me when I pray. And so, you know, as long as you know you can get a prayer in to God, then you know that you're on the right side of God. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. I tell you, I just thank God for having this opportunity, as I just stated, once again, to be able to come back across these airways and bring unto you the divine word of truth as I know it to be. Hallelujah. And so, I don't know what this computer just got a mind look like of its own on this morning. So you just excuse it because, you know, I know that that can be, you know, it can be Satan. Then it don't have to be Satan. It can just be the system. But whatever, you know, we going on in Jesus' name. We're not going to let nothing else sidetrack us and stop us from our mission. Because, see, I'm on a mission. Hallelujah. I'm on a mission for the Lord. And I tell you, I'm intending to carry out his instructions and his command. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, through the full extent of his spiritual law. So I just want you to, you know, just get you a good seat, all of my loyal and faithful listeners. Just get you a good seat. Bring all your digital devices, may they be your laptop, your iPhone, and your tablet, and all your digital toys aboard the old ship of Zion on this morning. I tell you, I didn't know really what was going on, but I couldn't hear no sound or anything. And, you know, and I said, well, Lord, I don't know what's going on. You know, I said, but God, I want you to, you know, come in and handle this situation. And I'll tell you, God did just that. So I know that God hear us. When I said, you know, God, I want you to step in, then God came right on in like I asked him. You know what I'm saying? I can't demand God to do anything, but I can ask him as a servant of God. You have the ability to ask God what you will. Hallelujah. And then God will do it. You know, all you have to do is supply the faith. You hear me? All you got to do is trust God at his word. God will come through. Hallelujah. So I just want to send condolences out to all of you that has lost loved ones over the last 72 hours. May it be the last 48 hours, the last 24 hours, moments ago. And we just want you to know that you are not alone. You have brothers and sisters and pilgrims over this barren land that's just praying with you and for you, and that way you are not alone. Hallelujah. And so I just want to, you know, just let you know that God is with you, and we're praying for you that God will restore your joy and bring back restoration unto your heart and into your healing, because I know that's a healing process. It takes on a process when we lose a loved one that's near and dear unto our heart, you know, it hurts. And so it takes God to heal the hurt and just, you know, love all the hurt away, as one songwriter said. Jesus can love all the hurt away. So you just allow God to love all of your hurt away, as only he can do. And so I want you to get you a good seat. I've already opened up the chat room for you to go in at your leisure, and you can you know, follow me and write down the scriptures as I give them, you know, to you after I read them, and you can write them down for a later time, you know, to refer back to, you know. So right now we're not gonna, you know, go into any further ado, because we know that time is of an essence, and we have lost a lot of time here on this morning due to technical difficulties, but we know, like I said, God is able and our show is going on. Hallelujah. So I'm just asking those of you that are out there in my digital live audience, this is a live program. This is not a pre-recorded, but this is a live program. And so I'm just asking you, hallelujah, to bow your heads with me, you know, as we go down, acknowledge God, because all we do, God said, acknowledge me, and I will, hallelujah, direct your path. See, we acknowledge God in all that we do, and then God will direct our path. So I'm just asking you once again to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this allotted time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us to gather together in unity once again, God, around the spectrum. But we know that the soil, God, that we're treading our feet on, God, is not our eternal destination. But we know that you have a home already lying in waiting, God. One of these old historical days when you crack those clouds, but until you crack those clouds, God, we will continue in your will and in your way, moving upward and onward, God, before the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. Hallelujah, God. And I'm asking you, God, to anoint these lips of clay, God. I want you to enable me, God, to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may, then again may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, God, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very souls. These and other blessings, God, we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we will allow the cathedral, children of God, to say amen and amen. Greetings to you, you, and you out there in my digital audience on this morning. And may God bless you, all of my loyal, loyal listeners is what I'm trying to say. And I just thank you, and may God richly bless you as only he can do. And I am scheduled to be with you. I bumped my time up because I was having difficulties, and so I bumped my time up to 90 minutes, but it's counting as 54 minutes, so I might have to go back, you know, and do some adjustments. But we'll just let it run and do its course, and then if I have to increase it, then I will do so. But I just want you to get your good seat, you know, and get comfortable and come on in where the feast of the Lord is going on. I tell you, God is good all the time, and all the time he is good. So, you know, when we're not good, we know that Jesus is good all the time. Hallelujah. God don't change. We change our hair colors. We change our hairstyles. We change our clothing. But God, spiritual deity, that do not change. I'm telling you, God stays the same year-round, 24/7. 365 days out of a year, our Lord and Savior stays the same. He do not change at any time. And so now we're going to jump start, and we're going to take you right now on into a live service that's already in progression. And the title of our sermon on this morning is, Who Calls the Games Spiritually? I want to say that one more time. Who calls the game spiritually? Now, we're going to read from our first key scripture on this morning. And it reads like this. Shall the one who contend with the Almighty correct him? That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Job 40:2. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to move on down to our second key scripture, and it reads like this. It says that I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, Philippians 4 and 11. All right, we're going to keep you moving. We're going to go on down to our third, and it reads like this. They tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Exodus 17 and 7. And our final key scripture, we will read it, and it reads this. Be aware of covenants, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Luke 12 and 15. And so we're talking about who calls the game spiritually. So in other words, we're talking about who calls the shots over yours and mine's and our life, our livelihood. We know that there's only one creator and there's only one mediator, and that's Jesus Christ himself. But we find out in today's forces in society, it drives you and I and us toward individualism and self-interest. We find out when we as individuals experience failures. However, we can weather them more easily when you and I and us, when we belong to a positive, loving, and supportive family and community. But when the children of Israel grumbled about how God was leading them and wanted to return to the flesh pots of Egypt, then Moses petitioned God's help. He asked for aid on behalf of the community because he realized the detrimental influences of complaining and the importance of keeping the community unified in order to achieve God's purpose. We know that our ultimate allegiance is to God, and our ultimate connection with each other is through God. We find out the spirit of family and community is present when people place their proper emphasis on these bonds. Hallelujah. And you know, when just like now, you know, we have this presidential race that's going on right now. And, you know, we're told that the congressmen, members of the Congressional Black Caucus, say they might be bitter and sharp in disagreement on particular issues. Yet they said that if any of them was in trouble or in need of a special assistant, they would, without hesitation, go to the aid of their colleague. And it was more important for them to function as a family and community than to continue to be divided over issues of lesser importance. So we know that building families, hallelujah, Jesus, and communities may require us to sacrifice self-ambitious popularity and position. You and I and us, we must not grumble, but rather seek positive solutions, hallelujah, for the problem that threaten our families and our communities. Our survival as a family and as a community, it rests upon such constructive effort. So, you know, when things are not going as we anticipated, then we tend to get mad and we grumble and we get mad at God because God don't move in the interest that we are wanting him to move. You know, we want God to move and jump when we want him to jump. But I want to set the record straight on this morning, is that we are not the father of Jesus. But it's the flip side of that coin. Jesus is our father. He's our Lord and our Savior. He's our soon coming Messiah. And we don't order him around. We don't order him around because he do not order us around. He lay out his principles, his guidelines for our everyday living on this Christian journey. He give us a choice. He said, you can choose ye this day who you're going to serve. So God don't even, you know, he don't tell us, well, you know, I'm threatening you to do this. Because God do not threaten us. God put his word out there. It's up to us to accept it or we can reject it. You know, it's our choice, our choosing to do as we please. So God says the same thing. God said, I am God and I do as I please. So what you and I are to do when we are facing critical issues in our life, we are to go humbly to God, not in demanding God to do anything, because we cannot command God to do nothing. But we can go to God humbly and in sincerity and cry out to God, tell him about our problems. God is the only one that can solve yours and mine and our problems. We run into difficulties, and we will in this life in which we live, in this journey, in this world. We're going to encounter difficulties. We're going to encounter heartaches. We're going to encounter setbacks and booby traps that the devil set up in his playground for you and I. But we know that we serve a God, hallelujah, that he sit high and he look low. And he listened to you and I. You know, and God come and he plead our case. But it's only when you and I come to God sincerely and humbly and intelligently, we come to God. See, we come to God with intelligence and respect and reverence. God is not a God that we can boss around, children of God and friends and colleagues and visitors. But God is a spiritual deity. God is a spirit that we can go to him and we can cry out and we can pray and ask God to intervene on our behalf. And so we're talking about complaining to Jesus. We're talking about not being satisfied of what we have, being contented in what God has already enable you and I to partake of. So you see, Job had been complaining about the cause because he didn't think were fair in his case. And we find out that the Lord was God. And after listening to Job's objections, the Lord finally spoke out in a violent storm, we're told. Suddenly things came into perspective for Job. And the Bible says that God was gentle, but he was also firm and direct. He said that the Lord asked him the kind of questions that bring a finite man back down to size. Job listened and he gave up his complaining and he found peace in surrendering to God. So you and I and us can only find peace when we surrender to God. Not demanding God to do anything for us. God, you know, you better pay that bill for me, you know. God, you better send me some money. God, you better help me to get pregnant, you know. God, you better find me a husband. God, you better put me out there in ministry. But that is the wrong way in which to approach God. See, we got to come to God humbly and in reverence and in respect. That is the way we are to approach God, and not complaining and grumbling to God. But in everything, give thanks. Give thanks for your have-nots, and give thanks for your haves. Hallelujah. So like I said, Job found peace in surrendering to God. And you and I, we can pray, and we can go to God, because we know that, Father, whatever, you know, that you bring to us, and we know a lot of your commands sometimes may not make sense, but when we complain about your fairness, it helped you and I to be like Jesus, who trusted you without complaining, even to the point of dying on the cross. So when you and I and us, when we come with troubles and we begin to complain because we do not understand the problems, in a narrow view that failed to see God's loving hand. When you feel like complaining, just think of all that Jesus has already endured for you and I and us. Hallelujah. Jesus died on that old rugged cross over 2,000 light years ago. But we find out that the Apostle Paul reinforced the idea that the way we view our circumstances is more important than the circumstances themselves. While he too was in prison, he wrote, I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be contented. We know that both men could be content because they drew their ultimate satisfaction from God, who never changes. And that's what I said earlier, that we change. We change our personality. We change our clothes. We change our hairstyle. Hallelujah. But God does not change. So I want to ask you on this morning, do you feel changed to difficulty circumstances? If you do, then God can give you contentment. Everlasting satisfaction can be found only with him. For in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. You can ask God to lead me today as you seek best. Use the gifts you've given me to encourage others on their journey. Help me not to compare myself with others, but to be content. When all you have is God, you'll find you have all that you need. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We find out that most people have a bad habit or two. Some habits are just irritating, such as talking too much or talking too fast. Others are much more serious. Consider, for example, the bad habit developed by the people of ancient Israel. They had just been delivered from slavery. You can read that in the law of Exodus 14 and 30. And they ought to have been thankful, but instead, hallelujah, they started to complain to Moses and Aaron. Oh, that we have died by the hands of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. And we read in Exodus 17 that their complaining escalated into a quarrel. In reality, their complaints was with God. But they picked a fight with Moses because he was the leader. They said, why is it you have brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? The people even began questioning God, if God was really with them, verse 7. Yet he always met their needs. And if you and I and us, if we're honest, we would have to admit that we sometimes complain when God isn't coming through for you and I and us the way we would want. We accuse him of being absent or disinterested. Devil, use a lie. Use a lie. You're not going to have my tongue tied. But like I said, disinterested, that's what, you know, what we would think of God is, because God is not hearing us and he's not interested in our prayer, in our cry or our plead. But when our heart is concerned with God's purpose rather than our own, you and I and us, we will be patient and we will trust him to provide all that you and I need. Then we won't develop the bad habit of complaining. Hallelujah. Those Christians who with thankful hearts praise God throughout the day. They praise God throughout the day. And they won't tend to grumble and complain when things don't go their way. We know to conquer the habit of complaining, you and I and us, we should count our blessings. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we're going to read our final key scripture and our final reading for this morning. And it says, be aware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. That scripture reading is coming once again out of the law of Luke 12 and 15. And we know that the pursuit of possessions continue to be one of the most powerful motivations that people can experience. But can the accumulations of things bring true satisfaction? We go into the law of Luke 12 and 15. Jesus answered that question with a firm and uncompromising no. During the discussions on the material of wealth, he said, take heed and be aware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Life must always be more than just the inventory of the things that we own. We find out that King Solomon, he also attempted to find satisfaction in the pursuit of things. He discovered it to be full of emptiness. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Ecclesiastes 2 and 1 through 17. But if you and I and us, if we have placed the abundance of the things we possess at the center of our lives, may it be shopping. In fact, We have become a substitute for God, a new religion. But such endeavors will always result in emptiness. David prayed, "You open your hands and satisfy the desire of every living thing." That scripture reading can come out of Psalms 145 and 16. And we find out that only God is able to bring real satisfaction into our lives. Oh, Lord, help you and I and us to be content with all that we possess. And may we show our gratitude with heartfelt thankfulness. You and I and us, we are rich when we are satisfied with what we have. Our sermon on this morning entitled, "Who Called the Game Spiritually?" And we are to acknowledge God in reference, in gratitude, and reference and respect. Because God is a deity, is all power, supernatural, omnipotent God is who he is. And we are his disciples. We are his children. And so when we go to God, we can't go to God, you know, with an attitude of being angry, but to go to God in humble and submission. God said, come to him in spirit and in truth. And when we pray, we can ask God for what we want. We can petition before the throne of God and place our petition at the feet of God. And God will hear us, and God will do what's best in our lives. It don't always seem right sometimes. It don't feel good sometimes. But we know that God always works things out for yours and mine's and our good. In the end, God is going to get the glory, and we will begin to give him praise. Hallelujah. Don't be mad at God, you know, if you're lacking financial, means of having what you need to finish out your bills, you know. Because God already know, before we even ask, God already know what we are in need of. He said, I know what you are in need of before you even ask me. You know, so God already know that you got bills that are due. He knows that. And you know what? God is making provision for you. Because God hear your mama crying. God is going to open up a door. God is going to open up a window. Because God said, after that you and I and us have suffered a while, and we don't know what his definition of a while. We don't know of his definition of a while is a few moments, if it's an hour, if it's a month, if it's a day, a week, if it's a year or years. We don't know. But we do know that God said in his word that even one day is like 1,000 years unto God. So whatever you might need to place before the feet of Jesus, may it be the desire to remarry. You want a new wife. You want a new husband. May it be you want to give birth to a child. May it be you want a raise on your job. May it be you want to go in business for yourself. But whatever your petition that you place before God, just go to God humbly, not mumbling and grumbling and complaining. Because you know whatever we have, you know when we're not satisfied with what we have, do you know God will take it away? You say, well, I'm driving this old car. You know, it won't hardly get me around. But just thank God for that hoopty, and God will bless you with a brand new car. God will bless you with one that's almost new. Thank God for that hoopty, and God will bless you with a brand new automobile. You know, thank God for you being a widow and a single woman, because God will bless you with that desired husband. God will bless you to conceive and have a child. God will bless you at your workplace of increases in your salary. Just thank God for what you have, and don't complain, but in all things, give thanks to God. And again, our sermon on this morning is, who called the game spiritually? We know that Jesus is the in C. And that means Christ in charge. God said that I am. I am. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am everlasting to everlasting. So we know that God is the man that we go through. And we go through him and we go to him for whatever we need, for whatever ails you and I. We can go to God. When we can't go to mother and father, we can go to Jesus. When we can't go to our siblings, we can go to Jesus. When we can't go to our best friends, we can go to Jesus. When we can't go to our business colleague, we can go to Jesus. When we can't find the answer in our lawyer, we can go to Jesus. When we can't find the answer in our physician, we can go to Jesus. We can go to Jesus for every single thing that we need in our lives, in this Christian journey that we're on. Go to Jesus. He said, in all things, acknowledge me, Jesus. I will direct yours, mine, and our path. So in all things, without grumbling and mumbling and complaining, endure like a true soldier of Jesus Christ. Be satisfied with what you have. Be content with what God has already blessed you with, because he didn't have to do it. He didn't owe us anything. We weren't warranted anything. But it was just God's grace and mercy that God, chose to bless each and every one of us. We have been blessed. We go through trials. Yes, we do. We will continue to go through trials and tribulations, but God will carry us through, and he will bring us out on the other side, shouting the victory. We're going to cry. Yes, we're going to cry. We cannot go through this life without crying. Jesus cried. So we cannot be above Jesus. Jesus cried to his Father, "Why have thou forsaken me? Why have you allowed me to be nailed to this old rugged cross with nails in my hands, in my feet, a crown of thorns placed upon my head? Why did you allow the soldiers to spear me in my side and foot me with 39 stripes across my backside?" So see, Jesus cried, and we cannot be above Jesus. If he cried, you and I are going to cry. May it be now, later, or in the near future. Listen to me when I tell you, you're going to cry. But God will wipe your tears from your eyes. God will bring back your joy and restoration into your heart and soul. We have individuals I know that in that rampant shooting just a few days ago, they subdued, they apprehended the shooter. I'm told they got him in custody. But the lives of the families, that life will never be the same. We have to pray for them that God will restore their joy. God will restore the hurt that they are encountering at this time. So while we are complaining, there's other people that are worse off than you and I. So just in all things, give thanks and gratitude to God for your life, your health, and your strength. You may not be in the best health, but thank God you're still living. You're not in a cold tomb. Not in a cold grave, but you're living. You're able to move around, or you're able to move some of your limbs, or you're able to move your eyes, if nothing else. If you don't have limbs, you have eyes. You have a mouth. You can do sign languages, or you can do whatever God has given you the power to do. I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but God has all the answers. Like I said, instead of complaining, we should start thanking God for everything that God has enabled you and I to take part of. Because it could have been you and I. That's our dose. No food, no clothes. Just another number. Just another statistic. But God saw fit, to give us somewhere to lay our head. A means of getting around by supplying us with an automobile, place to lay our head, giving us shelter, giving us clothes to put on to cover up our nakedness. We have a whole lot to be thankful for, because there's someone else that's worse off than you and I. So, like I said, thank God in whatever you have, because it's not all in material wealth, you know, but it's, you know, it is having your life, your health, and your strength. God has given you another opportunity to seek his face, to come in submission with salvation. Hallelujah. So with an ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions you would want the Old Ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're encouraged to send your correspondence. God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Make your requests attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. You can also log on to our web address, www.janicewardministries.org. Till we meet again across these skyways and airways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Buckle up with Jesus at your wheel, because he is people friendly. We're going to now open up the request line. If you have any prayer petitions you'd want like the Old Ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're encouraged to call in and speak live with the host, the moderator, and that is Overseer Janice Ward. That number to call in is 1-646-200-3074. Those numbers again are 1-646-200-3074. The request line for prayer is now open. But we're going to now change the dynamics of this program. We're going to turn you over to Hymns of Zion. This is our second part of our program. We bring you Hymns of Zion to just uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. So I just want you, once again, to go in God and allow God to go in you. And so now we're going to turn you over to Hymns of Zion. Be blessed.
though the road isn't easy.
I am rolling on.
I pray. I must understand who I'm talking to. You are God and God alone. But yet and still I know, when I pray, I often find that I pray amiss. So I'm asked that your spirit would make my request known. I know you see what I can't see, and I know you're always there for me. In my past, present, future, I know that you look out for me. I know that things look tough right now, but I will trust you the best way I know how. I can hear clearly your spirit is saying to me that you are sovereign. And I trust you, Lord. There's no need to fear, 'cause you reign, you are, and I trust you, Lord. There's no need to fear. That you are God and God alone. And so I approach your throne with confidence, knowing that I'm your child. And I know that though there is trouble, trouble on every side, I might be distressed and even perplexed, but I refuse to be in despair.
And I know to see what I can't see, and I know you're always there for me. In my past, present, and future, I know that you look out for me. And I know that things look tough right now, but I would trust you the best way I know how. I can hear clearly the Spirit saying to me to stand firm on these words.
You are sovereign,
and I trust you, God.
And I trust you.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you.